Sponsored No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. It is Tuesday, November the 8th, now into Wednesday, November the 9th, 2011. And we are live here with you tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Thanks for staying up late with us, being here with us. If you're listening to us on an archive later on or a YouTube clip later on, thank you as well for listening and tuning in. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's theglobalreality.com. My email address, if you'd like to email me anytime during the show or after the show or anytime, I try to get it to as many emails as I can here on the show. Can't get into all of them all the time, and I miss some and forget about some and get more, and they get buried. I apologize for that, but you know, if you ever think that you had something I didn't answer and you really needed an answer for it, just, you know, send it twice. I'm sure I'll get to it eventually. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's where you send that in. And we are live here with you tonight. We're going to be getting into some news and information, emails from you listeners out there, and also continuing to read from the Emerald Tablets of Toth. Great response from the reading, all the stuff that we've done, these reading series, and I'm glad we're going to do this, and we're going to continue to do this. And we've had some other requests for different stuff we'll move on to after we get done here. But tonight we're going to start on tablet number 10 from the Emerald Tablets of Toth, The Key of Time. So we'll be getting into all that here tonight for you on the broadcast. And last night we had a show as well on the Monday night, Tuesday morning broadcast. And we, right after the show last night, took a lot longer. YouTube was being a little bit of a bitch last night, so took a little longer. But those that stayed up late and waited it out got to be the first in line to see the first full hour complete with music, final finished product, warts and all, there last night. And it is up on YouTube right now, the Seagrind Volume 2, hour number 1. Go get it. Spread it to the four winds, please. Post it and get it out there. And keep in mind, that's only, I've had a lot of people that have been saying that, oh, the full movie's out. This is the full movie. And some of it I thought was just, at first I thought it was just people who just didn't know better, but then I saw it said repeating. I was like, oh, this is disinfo. Yeah, that's the whole goddamn movie. Yeah, 1 hour. Yeah, what a movie. No, bucko. You're lucky I don't drop a fucking 8-hour epic on your ass and take another 6 months to do it, as much info as I have. That's why I appreciate so much the people who do appreciate what I do, and there are a lot of them, and I could really give a fuck less about the people who don't appreciate what I do anymore, because, you know, you just have no idea how many days and weeks and nights and months that is of work that I just dropped there. I'm excited for this. I mean, I'm excited about this. If you watch the first hour of that movie and you think that encompasses the entire movie, you're just flat wrong. You're seeing one piece of a puzzle and one piece of a picture that I'm painting here, and all the other rest of the parts you're going to see interlock in with the first hour you've already seen. But I want to thank everybody out there. We've had a great response. Everybody's said a lot of great things. We had a lot of good good reaction, and I'm glad. I mean, that's as much time and work and money and effort's been put into this thing. I'm glad that people are responding to it in the right way. But please get out, get that out there and let people know about that. And I'm going to continue to work and do my best to get this done as quickly as possible. I've got goals set for myself on things as far as time and stuff like that. What I want to have done when, and so I'm sticking to those. And it's amazing all the goals, because that's what I did over the past couple of weeks, and I hadn't had as many shows. I had goals set during that time, and it's funny. I met all of those goals, and the only thing that held me back during that time at all was just the fact that, like I talked about last night, this software is so new, it's so buggy, they haven't worked out all the kinks yet. So I've been at the mercy of, you know, I mean, literally last week, I lost almost a whole week of work last week because of the software issue. Because it's doing this thing where, I mean, I got an external 2 terabyte drive for this thing, and I've got all the files on there that I'm editing with, but unlike all the other stuff I've used on PC, it's making a separate file with all the transcoded data in it on the internal hard drive, which is chewing up my RAM. And so I tried to move that to the external drive, and when I moved it to the external drive, all my cuts and edits and stuff were still there, but all the data was missing. So I said, okay, well, let's, you know, move that back. So you just click a button and push move back, and it moves it right back where it was, right? No harm, no foul. Wrong. Moved it back, and it had all the cuts and everything in there, but I had to go back and put in all the data in there. It was hours and hours and days worth of work. So I had to go back and do that all over again. So I went through that and did it, and then there ended up still being some little things in there I needed to go back and fix, but I'm stuck with it. I'm going to have to re-edit the whole thing. But and some other people were asking about the mirrored footage. I thought I explained that 100,000 times over. If I didn't, let me re-explain to you one more time. When we had the 1 hour or the 47-minute preview, the first time I tried to put it up, YouTube wouldn't allow it to be put up. A good portion of the clips in the movie were bought and paid for from the news archives. Some clips are not available to be purchased or bought at any price. So in that case, you have to use the fair use clause, as you'll see I have at the beginning of the film there, and do it that way. But in the case of the piece of footage in this that is in question is from The Rise of the New Right with Chris Matthews from MSNBC. Now, they've flagged that content. They won't allow it to be uploaded in any form to YouTube. So the only way to get around that is to mirror the footage around. The other one that was mirrored in there, somebody was saying, oh, all the footage is mirrored. No, there was only two small bits of the film that were mirrored, the Rise of the New Right part and the clips from Oliver Stone's JFK, which, by the way, I'm giving credit in the film and stuff like that, but that's another workaround because I've had that happen. One of my best mini films that I made, the Operation Haitiquake film, which I need to go back and recut, and I think I will do that because it's a great film, and it got flagged and taken off YouTube because I had some clips in there even though I didn't have audio in it from GoldenEye from James Bond. So that's one that's like that, but the DVDs won't be like that because I'll be recutting that back the way it's supposed to be on the DVD and the Blu-ray release. So, but that's also how I'm going to keep it from being. Actually, I'm glad that it worked out like that, to be honest with you, because that's how I'm going to keep other copies from being uploaded. Because what will happen is if you buy the DVD and you try to upload it, YouTube will not allow it to be uploaded because it'll be automatically auto-flagged for the copyright stuff. So that's why that is the way it is. Again, you know, we do need your support. Please donate to the website, theglobalremedy.com, so I can continue to get the work on this done. I'm glad I've been able to show you the fruits of many, many months of and days and nights of worth of work in that first hour alone, but I'm here to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm glad you enjoyed the first hour, but you've seen nothing yet. I probably got at least 2 more hours coming. That's minimum. I don't know. It's going to be at least another 2 hours. It's got to be at least another 2 hours. I've got probably, I know I've got at least another hour of voiceovers already in the can. And I think I've got well over an hour of voiceovers scripted that I haven't done yet. So I'm just going to, you know, basically work on this, I mean, as a work in progress, and put it out as a work in progress. You know, and when it gets closer to the end, boom, you know, we'll have maybe half of it online for free, and the other half, if you want to see the rest of it, you'll have to get the DVD. And believe me, you'll want to buy the DVD if you just watch the online stuff, because we'll eventually put the whole thing out for free, but it'll be well after the DVD's been out for some time, because we need to try to recoup some on this so we can have something for the next film, because I'm going to jump right into the next film. I'm going to take you time off from that and get right into the investigation of the Rock Wall film, which, by the way, a buddy of mine, my best friends I've known since sixth grade, he stopped by tonight, hadn't seen him in a while. And he told me that he was out in Rockwall recently, and he had dinner at a steakhouse out there. And the steakhouse hadn't been there very long, but he said that inside of this steakhouse, they had news clippings, multiple news clippings, like framed inside of the steakhouse about the Rock Wall. And so we're going to go have a business meeting out there at some point. go out there and get some pictures and some footage of that. Cause one of the things I'm going to do for the film is, I'm going to go out there to Rockwall and, do some real, it's going to be real investigative journalism. I cannot wait to make this film. It's going to be so much fun. And I've got some people already saying they want to help out with this film. That's going to be great, man. I need all the help I can get. And it'd be cool to have, you know, a few people help me on this. We could go out and really do some investigative journalism. That's what I want to do. I want to go out and, you know, because I've heard stories and read stories. There are many families in Rockwall that have lived there for many years that, you know, have stories and have artifacts and have things, and they're kind of keeping tight-lipped about it. But I'd like to go around and walk around and just ask people. Because the majority of the people that live in Rockwall are, you know, now they're transplants from other places. It's grown to a little bitty small town. I grew up about 20 minutes east of there, but it's grown. But you know, I'd like to go around and just ask people, you know, talk to some of the local yokels and talk to some of the old folks and stuff like that. Because Congressman Ralph Hall, who's a Council for National Policy member, who I'll be discussing in the end of the film, was reported to have been a part of a heist where they stole a 2.5-ton garnet stone. Garnet is not indigenous to this area, folks. This is the Blackland Prairie. It's what they call it. It's just black land. That's all it is. Dirt. But these 2.5-ton garnet stones that were found on the East Fork of the Trinity area, very close to the where the Rock Wall was found, have hieroglyphs that were found only in two other places, Sago Canyon in Utah. They resemble Egyptian, but the other place, Sheba's Palace in Yemen. Congressman Ralph Hall, CMP member, also a Freemason. He's listed on the East Fork Masonic Lodge website. Coincidentally enough, the East Fork of the Trinity River is where the Rock Wall was located. Smack dab right on the 33rd degree parallel, ladies and gentlemen. Roswell on the 33rd degree parallel, all these crashes, UFO crashes, sightings all around the 33rd degree parallel, and just happens to be this, what appears to be the ancient mythical kingdom of Aslan. I mean, remember, this all used to be Mexico. I mean, I think we're starting to see that there's a deeper reason why, you know, they wanted Texas to be a part of the United States and take it away from Mexico. They found out what was here. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the film as well. Exciting stuff. So again, see right volume 2, hour number 1. Lots more to come, lots more juicy stuff, lots more deeper connections, lots more old news footage, stuff like that. Oh, another thing I wanted to field, a couple of questions, stuff about the film. Somebody in the chat room was mentioning earlier tonight you know, that these guys probably, you know, were the ones that did the assassination attempt against Pope John Paul II. And, you know, for time's sake, I actually cut out, there's a piece in there that you'll see from the, really, I've been keeping tight lip about this for like 2 years. But there's a piece of footage in there from this Georgetown produced Jesuit documentary on the Black Pope, Pedro Rube. God damn, that shit is gold. I mean, they literally say in there, Pedro Rube, the Black Pope, is addressing a new world order. And with the other evidence I show, you know, with these Jesuit connected guys claiming the new world order's taken over, and then you see here's the Black Pope being presented as the titular head of the New World Order. It's just absolutely, you know, they're walking up kissing his ring, absolutely fucking gold prize footage. But that whole clip, I have the entire thing, and it's about 45 minutes, it's about 40, 45 minutes long. And I got to tell you, man, it took all I could do to cut it down the way I did, because I wanted to put the whole thing in there, because it's just goddamning is what it is. Anyway, there's a little part in there where they talk about Pope John Paul II was basically going to do the same thing that Kennedy said that he was going to do to the CIA after the Bay of Pigs, splinter it into 1,000 pieces. Well, Pope John Paul was planning to do that to the Jesuits. And then what happens? Boom. Assassination attempt. He lives. And then they show in this Georgetown-produced video, here comes Pope John Paul II coming out of this room, this back room where he'd been in a meeting with Pedro Rube, the Black Pope at the time, walking out from behind the doors with his arm around the Black Pope saying, I was lied to. I was lied to. I was led to believe the Jesuits were bad and were militant and all this stuff. And, oh my God, I was wrong and I was led to all this bad. Yeah. No, they let, dude, these guys don't miss. If they would have wanted to kill Pope John Paul, they would have killed him. They had no intention of killing him. They were sending a message to him. It's real Guido mobster horseshit. And that's what that's unfortunately who really runs this thing. I mean, they're more sophisticated than these, you know, Martin Scorsese type mobsters you see in movies like, you know, Goodfellas and, you know, The Godfather and all this shit. Well, these are high level, big money dudes, but it's the same type of mentality. So yeah, absolutely. They wanted to send a clear message. I mean, look, the Pope, the regular Pope, the white Pope, whatever. He's like a president. He's like, you know, or any other titular head of any country that we see. You know, he's the front man. There's always a more deeper, sinister power behind the works, and it is indeed the Jesuit. It's mind blowing how much power these people have, and it's mind blowing how hard people have been brainwashed to not even see it or even think about it. It's insane. And that's why the information about the Council for National Policy, that's why I always knew it was important, even when I really didn't know all the reasons why it was important. But something just in my gut, in my soul, in my heart told me to not stop, to not shut up about it, to keep pushing forward with it, and that eventually, if I didn't stop, I would gain a greater understanding of it. And I still don't know everything there is to know about it, but the fact that I haven't stopped has allowed me to grow and learn so much more about it and learn so much more about the whole wider aspect of the whole thing, our whole lives, our whole world. Nobody, the whole conspiracy genre, folks, you have to unlearn everything you've already unlearned. I hate to have to be the one to break that to you, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. You got to be prepared to start unlearning the things that you've relearned in the conspiracy culture. You know, the common things like, you know, oh, Adam Weishaupt, the Illuminati, 77, you know, these things you just rattle off. The more and more I found that those have been red herrings. Those have been things that have been planted there yet again for us to believe. It's a new set of truths, ladies and gentlemen, but these new set of truths are being propagated and being put out by the same people who put out the old truths. they're engineering a new way of thinking that appears to be new and is masquerading as being new, but it's really just a reincarnation of the old one in a different form, a different package. I have had to come to grips with the fact that, and you all have to come to grips with the fact of this too, is that a lot of the stuff that we all sort of have accepted and taken in as knowledge has to be looked at twice. It is much deeper, and it is a lot darker than I ever imagined, but it doesn't mean we don't have hope. But until we start to realize that we don't know jack shit, not any one of us, and we have to put ourselves back out there and back on the fire as a student yet again, the better off we're going to be. I mean, that's every time I get to some new plateau of understanding or something, it just knocks me right back down to square one again. And that's good. That's what it's supposed to do. I mean, peeling through the layers of this, and you start to come to eventually to places where it starts to challenge. Well, it starts to challenge everything you think you know about the world that you exist in all forms, from the material to the non-material, to the spiritual, to the etherical, to everything. And that's been a huge thing for me in the process of making this film. It's very hard to iterate that to you, to make you understand that. Just the things that I've experienced, and the understanding, and the way that I'm looking at this now, I think it comes across, or I think at least the thing it is coming across in what I've got done in the film so far. I think people are really seeing that, okay, you know, there are deeper things for that. And really that came out as a result of questions that people have asked me over the past 2 years since I made Seagrove Volume 1. The biggest question is always, you know, well, besides how are Alex Jones and Ron Paul involved, how they're involved in the CMP, I mean, who knows? That's the whole thing. You can never answer that question because they don't make any membership lists of at least the last 10 years available. So someone could say they're a member or say they're not a member, and we'd never know. Either way. I mean, so that's where a lot of speculation comes in on people's parts. When people say Alex Jones is a CMP member, he very well may be, but he very well may not be as well. It's really not important whether he is or whether he isn't. What's more important is that, again, you know, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 20, 30, 50, 60, 80 connections to these people and to people who run in the same circles. John Birch Society, CMP, on and on and on with these different right-wing groups and individuals. And he worked for the Pat Buchanan campaign. And Pat Buchanan, was a Jesuit trained individual. I mean, it's just, the list just goes on and on with this guy. So I try to answer some of the questions I've had besides those two. And that was, why people need to be concerned with this. Everything we've been told has been a lie, folks. And you've known that, but guess what? Everything we've been told has been a lie. Part two, Electric Boogaloo, the Patriot Movement, the Truth Movement. You know, one thing I can say for sure is, it makes me, the people that think that airplanes didn't hit the World Trade Center buildings, the no-planers, I've always been real fair and open to those people who have been into that idea, because for me, I don't personally believe that 100%. I don't totally 100% disbelieve it either, but a lot of the evidence I've seen appears to be doctored and photoed, shot, all the rest of this, but I think that's done by design as well to make it look kooky. I'll tell you what, with the stuff that I've seen, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole something to do with that whole no plane thing, there isn't some truth to that. Based on the dogmatic approach by individuals in the conspiracy movement and truth movement to anybody who brings it up, that anytime you see a knee jerk reaction about information by Alex Jones or any of the other sacred cows of the conspiracy research community. Anytime you start to see a knee-jerk reaction to any information, that's when you have to start putting your ears up. And I've experienced that the whole time I've been talking about the CMP and the secret right and all this stuff. Knee-jerk reaction. It's always from somebody who I, you know, had suspicions, had connections to these people due to the fact that, you know, they would either would never talk about the stuff or would try to poo-poo it or would, you know, continue to have on guests and never ask them about it when they'd have these guests on. But that's the whole thing is that now you know, people are going to have a much greater understanding, or at least should start to have a much greater understanding of the fact that they've just been setting up another control grid and another control system and another gatekeeping, a blockade to keep you from getting close. There's so many layers to it. It's all designed from you ever finding out who the true conspirators are and what the true wisdom is and the true secrets are that they're hiding. They put out all these red herrings and they put out all this cover bullshit, and they get everybody running around doing talk radio shows and websites and everything else and YouTube videos, just repeating their same bullshit mainstream version part two. The Truth Movement, Patriot Movement has become the mainstream acceptable version part two. Because what it's done is it said, okay, you have the mainstream thinking of it, that's bullshit. You know, the Jew World Order controls the media, so that's bullshit. Okay, here's the real facts. The Alex Jones of the Truth Movement, whoever's going to tell you this, this is the real facts, boom, the end. What's that do? Shuts off all rational thinking or any kind of thinking on it once and for all, doesn't it? Because then what do you have? You have a dualism. You have their version, and you have your version or our version or their version or whoever's. Right? So this one over here, you know, got a lot of facts to support it. Probably more plausible than what they're saying, right? So we'll go with this one over here because I don't trust anything these fuckers are putting out. But see, then that closes the door to you doing anything on that thing on your own. And that's what they've done. They've been doing this, I mean, since a couple of weeks after Kennedy, JFK was put in the ground. They started doing this stuff immediately. Anthony J. Hilder, one of the godfathers of the Truth Movement, Patriot Movement. I interviewed him. Man, that guy is as dirty as they come. He was using NLP all over my show. You could just tell he was using hypnotist stuff. I knew he was immediately when I had him on there. But, I mean, I continue to be blown away by this stuff. And again, you know, I don't know how long the movie's going to be, and I don't know exactly when it's going to be done. There is no measurable way I can put any kind of a measure on that. All I could do is continue to work every extra minute I have to get it done, and I will, but I need your help and I need your support. So use the chipping banner donate button. Please help us out, support us so I can continue to get this done and get it out there to the masses. Let's see what we have tonight for the emails here. I sent out quite a few emails this morning to different people. I was happy to see that Michael Dasarian got the film, and he said, congratulations, thanks, and well done, mate, Michael Dasarian. That's awesome. You know, it's funny. I don't know. A lot of people have a problem with Michael Dasarian. I don't have a problem with the guy one iota whatsoever. I mean, I've been criticized for that, but most everybody else I do. But Dasarian's been pretty rock solid in my book as far as I'm concerned, research and he's just a classy guy. I just love that guy so much. He's just the shit. You know, from back in 2008, when I first interviewed him, I hadn't been on the air very long. And, he told me immediately when I told him the idea of that film that he wanted to help promote it. And I thought he was just blowing smoke up my ass because he was on the show. And sure enough, he did. He promoted the film and put it on his website extensively. When Volume 1 came out, he even posted 1.5 in his forums. It's like, that's amazing. I like the fact that you know, I mean, I don't know. You can just, for me, I can tell the fakes when I see them. And, generally most of the fakes don't post my stuff, and people, I don't know, but you know, sometimes people that don't like or don't agree with post my stuff, and that's fine with me. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. It's, you know, David Icke posted Zero Right Volume 1 on his website when it came out, which was weird. Eric John Phelps posted Zero Right Volume 1. In fact, I think he still has Zero Right Volume 1 up there. I'm not really a fan of either one of those guys, but obviously, I guess they thought my somebody in their chain of command thought my information was interesting, so that's cool. Let's see what we have here. Sean says, great film. Thought the film was great. Didn't notice the clipping that you talked about. How do I buy a DVD when you're finished? As soon as it's done and it's sent off to be manufactured, we'll have new links up there to buy new copies when they're out, Blu-ray and regular DVD. We're going to drop the prices down on the regular DVDs once the regular DVDs are out, and so they're going to be less this go around. Then we'll have the Blu-ray option as well. That'll be about $10 more, so it'll be about $5 less for a regular DVD and about $10 more for the Blu-ray. So let's see what else we have. See here. It's from Charles. Says, hello, Mr. Reeves. I just finished listening to your October 24th broadcast, I believe. And you mentioned photon belt emission. Actually, it's photon belt immersion. Not emission, photon belt immersion. I am well aware of the theories that surrounded that possible reality. In 2009, I had several conversations regarding that concept. I was ready to dismiss it completely until I listened to a radio interview on another network recently where a caller demanded that we can see Saturn with the naked eye and her moons with simple binoculars. I screamed, oh, BS, yet the person argued with the radio, so I grabbed my own 10x50s and went and looked. I just about shite myself. My whole 2012 is nothing to fear mantra is now on pause. As I try to figure out that absolute impossibility, I'm more worried about the stupidity of man, more so than I'm worried about the universe sending me back home. If you or anyone else denies we can not only see Saturn, but her moons, I challenge any and all of you to tell me just what the hell that is then. And before someone claims that those are stars behind the devil planet, you might want to look for two nights in a row because those stars change location every night. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I'll try to go see if I can check that out at some point. I live in the city, so I had to go somewhere out and get away from it. Second, I watched your one-hour presentation. Very well done. I'm extremely conservative when it comes to government, yet liberal when it comes to my own life and how people should live theirs, or more importantly, mind their own business. On the surface, I can't say I argue with some of their CFR stated goals, yet your presentation proves when the ends justify the means, meanness is all that is left. I believe it is perfectly fine for two people to hold different views and create organization to combat the other peacefully. However, any person, government, religious, or private group that believes that they have the right to purposely, physically, or emotionally harm another human being is pure 100% evil all of the time. To defend yourself from their attempts is your God-given right and duty, though I don't agree with you on several fronts. I absolutely agree with your right to say it. Thanks for your time, Charles. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate that. I'm glad to have you on board listening, man. That's good stuff. Free thinker there, which is what we want. I'm glad that you don't agree with me on everything, but still, you know, that's how I get. That's how I know it's a real person sending me an email versus a person that's just a bot, you know, or someone that's being paid from somebody's money bomb. Money to leave YouTube comments or something, you know, which I know is going on. Don't think I don't. These clowns get, every time I come out of the movie, these clowns get so scared. It's funny, it'll be all quiet on the Western Front for months and months and months. Every goddamn time. Right as soon as I'm finishing up with a film, boy, you know, trolls and haters and shit talkers just come out of the woodworks every goddamn time. I told you guys it was coming. It's here now, and it's just going to continue to get worse, so if you see that kind of shit, you use your head, make your own real judgment on whether or not you think that's real or bullshit. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be bullshit. Here's one from Glenn. He says, I enjoyed the interview with Jim Mars. Well, that's an old show, boy. I hadn't interviewed Mars since 2008, I think. I couldn't find it, forgot the year and the month. Got an idea. I think it's on YouTube. Might want to search that. Got an idea for the time off to make the movie. Have shows on Monday, Thursday, Friday of past shows. That kind of outline. Remember movie of the week where it would be the same actor in a movie all week. You know, the feature subject this week is an idea. I think it will pay you some time to give your listeners something to look forward to, you know. And exit with Remember Tomorrow Night's Show. Okay, thanks for the suggestion there, Glenn. Here's another one from Mitchell last. We had one from Mitchell last night. We have another one from him tonight. He says, hey, Josh, thanks for reading my email last night about possible false flags on 11-9, 11-11-11. Though I did not properly explain what I was asking and why, your response nonetheless got me to reflecting. I was more interested in specific possibilities, and you provided one with the Rods of the God scenario. I was thinking along those lines in tandem with New Madrid. The reason I'm running is because I've caught myself recently giving in to fears of events I can't control. Back in September, I emailed you privately about some concerns I had, and you gave me some good advice. I don't know why this is happening. For the most part, I am clear-headed, rational person. The need or motivation to learn as much as I can about whatever I can is mostly self-serving. I want to better myself. However, there is this instinct to try and be prepared and protect my family. This is where I become irrational. The helplessness I feel for the safety and the future of my children is immense. You pointed out that many of us are too preoccupied with negative thoughts, and I confess I am guilty. I'm done worrying about events that I can't control. I will be keeping in my mind and my ears open, but I will no longer dread that I cannot control. Good for you, man. That's what you got to do. I hope this isn't too corny. I find great comfort in the small but growing global reality community. None of us have all the answers. We all fall victim to this game from time to time. Thank you for the work you do and for being a friend, whether or not I ever meet you or not. Yeah, well, I am your friend. Thanks, Mitchell. That's awesome. Appreciate you being out there, buddy. Here's one from Mike. He says, Josh, take a deep breath, my friend. Okay, I will. Oh, yeah. There we go. Take a deep breath. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Take a deep breath, my friend. You are the man. Jordan Maxwell, Ike Jones, RBN, the Republic for the United States of America, the Democrats, the Republicans, the television, Hollywood, the alphabet soup government agencies, your friends and family, half your fans, your school, your church, and just about everybody else.
Suck Satan's big cock, motherfucker.
I am Aries and left-handed and a rip-ass guitar player. And I love to pour the semen into the womb, just like Enki. I get it. I know the truth. Everybody else has their head up their big fat asses. Keep it together. Please keep putting out the real truth. Wow. That's a great email. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that one. Let's see what else we have here. Here's one from John. John says, saw the 1 hour preview. Oh my fucking God. It's awesome. Dude, you did so good. I mean, really good. Not just saying it. Spiracy folks needs know what they've been fud with. You are a tribute to the species. Seriously. Thank you, John. You are a tribute to interestingness yourself there. Yeah, that's rad. Let's see what else we have here in the mailbag tonight. Here's one from Allison. Allison says, hey, Josh, I've really enjoyed listening to you read The Finding of the Third Eye. Thank you so much. I'd welcome listening to you read any day. Oh, wow. Really? Well, welcome listening to you read any day. Really? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. What would you like me to read next? You can come over and you can sit in my lap and I can read. I'm just kidding. No. I'm just playing with you. Yeah. You know, a woman says something like that and you're just like, really? All right. Well, don't say that. I'll read your ass into a coma. Oh, you like me to read, do you? You like that? More where that came from. You want some of that? It's good shit in the ass. What you need, baby? You like that shit? Huh? I got War and Peace over here, baby. I'll read this whole 800-page motherfucker to you. That's what you want? That's what you like? That gets you hot? Just kidding. I'm new to you in the global reality. I'd love to know your thoughts about Share International and my Tray of the World teacher. Love, Allison. Wow, Allison. That's amazingly synchronistic. I just had some friends who actually went to a conference or a meeting or something on the subject of that the other night. They didn't really have much to say about it, so I think they probably, like I do, you know, see the bullshit in it. But I sent you a, if you're listening to this on an archive later, Allison, I sent you a link to this. It's a big, long thing on this. Essentially, Benjamin Cream is the guy who's been the one that's done this. And if you read all the information that I've sent you, I'll drop it in the chat room as well. I mean, this guy was doing heavy, extensive work with the Esophageal Society. He was, you know, messing with frequency stuff in orgone generators. It came from Wilhelm Reich's work on orgone generators and all this stuff. And basically what happened was is that something happened to Benjamin Cream from working with these frequencies, and it like jarred his, I don't know, it just jarred his system. You know how we're sensitive to vibrations and some things in the vibratory field we can't see? If you shake that up too much, it's not reversible. And then that's why there's people who see spirits all the time and people who actually see, because they can see into these other realms and they can't turn it off. And that's what it sounds like happened to this Benjamin Cream guy. And he basically has opened himself up to a bunch of other dimensions. And he's basically had some alleged extraterrestrials telling him that he's the one that's going to bring out Maitreya. I understand Maitreya is supposed to be like some kind of, you know, the Antichrist or the false Christ or the, I don't know what have you. But a lot of people believe it ties in with the, Project Bluebeam scenario and that kind of thing. I don't know for sure, but, hopefully you'll check out that link there that I sent you, Allison. Hopefully you'll hear this and get into it. I know that, it definitely stinks of a priest class engineered event to prove or to bring about the fulfilling of the biblical prophecy. They're going to engineer their biblical prophecy through technology. At least that's what my research has shown me. So thank you, Allison. I'm glad to have you listening. And yeah, I'll be happy to read to you anytime for any extended period of time. If that's what you please, mistress. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's see what else we have. I think it's all the emails we have here tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Love to have emails from you anytime. Thank you so much, everybody out there who sent in emails. Let's see what we've got in the news tonight. High court rules Catholic Church is liable over priests. So they're liable. Yeah, this is going to cause a shakeup, just like we were talking about earlier when there's been several times they've tried to expel the Jesuits. I think this is that's what they're going to try to do here. This is going to really shake up the priest class and cause a war within the religious power structure. And that's just interesting timing of this. But yeah, these guys are all butt boys. They're all into butt sex. Oh, this is priceless right here. You can't make this kind of shit up. if you try to. Former Federal Reserve economist, likely to be the next prime minister of Greece. He's also a trilateral commission member. Lucas Papademos will be, as of tomorrow, the new prime minister of the country after the agreement that the outgoing prime minister George Papandreou and the opposition head Antonis Samaras reached last night. Papademos is a 100% bankster tool. There will never be even the suggestion of a referendum on any program the banksters want passed. It will simply be passed. So there you go. They engineer the collapse, and then what do? They put the same henchman that caused the collapse in there to run the country once the country goes default. You understand that's what's coming here. Oh, man. But I can talk about Tom Blue in the face, and still some people will go, oh, I don't believe that. You know, I talked about last night, all these earthquakes happening here and close to my area. You know, I think we have to be very careful to not always blame the red herring any more than we just accept what the mainstream is telling us is the official explanation for these things. We shouldn't believe that, you know, every time there's an earthquake or a hurricane or a snowstorm, that it's always HARP any more than we should always believe that it's, you know, that those things are caused by global warming or something else they tell us. And, you know, I think that this whole fracking thing has been a big red herring, because everywhere I turn now, you know, mainstream people say, oh, it's fracking. People are just going on about their business. I think that's a cover up for something else as well. But, you know, with all these earthquakes going on, a lot of the evidence I saw from the depths of them, they weren't at the depths where there would have been any fracking involved. And so a lot of evidence in the case of these recent earthquakes in Oklahoma, in my opinion, points in the direction of HARP technology being used as a force multiplier. Now, force multiplication technology is a military term for something that they use to basically take something like a natural occurring event and use technology to enhance that and use it for a military advantage and use it to make it worse. That's why it's called force multiplication. So, for instance, a force multiplication technology would be taking a hurricane that is, you know, a Category 3, pumping it up, blasting it with electromagnetic waves and just, you know, peppering it with barium and everything else, and then blowing it up and hyping it up in much in the same way that they did Hurricane Katrina. Or another would be, you know, knowledge that there's a tectonic shift going on somewhere. You know, it's going to cause a 3.0 earthquake, and they, you know, send the HARP beams on that location, causing the earthquake to be much worse than it probably would have been on its own, as I believe they did in Haiti. So force multiplication technology is very real, and we've seen a lot of things that have happened in Alaska whenever they did big tests and big fire-ups of the HARP antenna array there. And lo and behold, right after we had these earthquakes, here comes some crazy out-of-this-world storm right near where the HARP facility is located in Alaska. They're talking about 55-foot tidal waves and shit. An epic storm was bearing down in western Alaska on Tuesday. The National Weather Service said, warning it could be one of the worst on record for the state. The storm moving inland from the Aleutian Islands was expected to bring hurricane-force wind gusts with up to 100 miles per hour, heavy snowfall, widespread coastal flooding, and severe erosion to most of Alaska's west coast. I mean, oh my God, that sounds like the fucking end of the world. 55-foot waves? Jesus Christ, you live in Alaska. Get the fuck out of there right now, please. U.S. government confirms link between earthquakes and hydraulic fracturing. Well, again, there we go. Red herring. It may not be a red herring, but at the same time, don't you think it's a little bit coincidental? They're sitting here now saying, oh, well, the government confirms a link between hydraulic fracturing and earthquakes. You know, they said it before, there wasn't. On November 5th, an earthquake measuring 5.6 ran in Oklahoma and was felt as far away as Illinois. Until 2 years ago, Oklahoma typically had about 50 earthquakes a year, but in 2010, 1,447 earthquakes shook the state. Why? In Lincoln County, where most of this past weekend's seismic incidents were centered, there are 181 injection wells. According to Matt Skinner, an official from the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, the agency which oversees oil and gas production in the state, the practice of injecting water into deep rock formations causes earthquakes. Both the U.S. Army and the U.S. Geological Survey have concluded. The U.S. natural gas industry pumps a mixture of water and assorted chemicals deep underground to shatter sediment layers containing natural gas, a process called hydraulic fracturing, known more informally as fracking. While environmental groups have primarily focused on fracking's capacity to pollute underground water, a more ominous byproduct emerges from the U.S. government studies that forcing fluids under high pressure deep underground produces increased regional seismic activity. As the U.S. natural gas industry mounts an unprecedented and expensive advertising campaign to convince the public that such practices are environmentally benign, U.S. government agencies have been determined otherwise. According to the U.S. Army's Rocky Mountain Arsenal website, the RMA drilled a deep well for disposing of the site's liquid waste after the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency concluded that this procedure is effective and protective of the environment. According to the RMA, the Rocky Mountain Arsenal deep injection well was constructed in 1961 and was drilled to a depth of 12,045 feet and 165 million gallons of basin F liquid waste, consisting of very salty water that includes some metals, chlorides, wastewater, and toxic allergens, was injected into a well during the 1962 to 1966 time period. Why was the process halted? The Army discontinued use of the well in February 1966 because of the possibility that the fluid injection was triggering earthquakes in the area. In 1990, the earthquake hazard associated with deep well injection, a report in the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency study of RMA events by Craig Nicholson and W.I. Wesson, stated simply, injection has been discontinued at the site in the previous year once the link between the fluid injection and the earlier series of earthquakes was established. So they've known this for over 25 years. They've known this, you know, well, that was in the 60s, so longer than that. Yeah, you know, I mean, over, yeah. 45, 46 years they've known about this. Unbelievable. Oh, man, listen to these fruity boys in the Vatican. I mean, they just can't get enough. It's not enough that these guys are having sex scandals and pederast lawsuits every other week. Now they're telling them to spice it up a little bit. Get into some of the sexy stuff. I'm not kidding. You can't make this up. Vatican tells Roman Catholic priests to spice up their sermons with scandals. I think we've got enough scandal going on. What do you want them to do? Start telling. And on the fifth day, the Lord said to touch a little boy's butt and put your finger in his asshole. I mean, Christ. You want them to get up there and show you how they butt fucked Pedro in the back room during mass? I mean, you want them to get up there and give you a demonstration? Shit. This is out of control. Roman Catholic priests have been told to inject scandal into their sermons by a senior official from the Vatican. Cardinal Gianfranco Ravisi said that priests need to liven up their often dull sermons with the scandalous parts from the Bible. Yeah, here's something scandalous for you. Why don't you go next time you go for mass, go and ask old preacher boy up there to explain why Genesis is the gene of Isis or the genealogy of Isis. Watch him turn red and shout himself and run in the other room. The cardinal was Cardinal Ricci, the Vatican's most senior cultural officer, added that if priests did not change their ways, sermons risked becoming irrelevant, as if they aren't already. The cardinal was speaking at an event in Rome where he said that social networking sites such as Twitter are a good way to spread the word of God. So Twitter for Jesus. I said we're going to Twitter for Jesus.
That's right, Pastor Hayes is going to Twitter for Jesus. I'm sending a Twitter to the Lord. And I'm going to stand on a red carpet while I send it. Because God would want you to listen to me preach. Yes, it's good to be back. I'm glad to see that Josh Reeves left me out of his movie so far, but, you know, I featured pretty heavily in the first one. Praise Jesus! Can I get a fucking name?
Oh, thank you, Pastor Hagee, for gracing us with your presence there. He's got the FEMA emergency break-in line. He can just break anytime he wants, like he's fucking Obama or something. I'm not saying he's fucking Obama. I mean, he might be. Who knows? But speaking of that, Pastor Hagee would be very proud of this. this is another one of those file under WTF. Where'd it go? Jewish paper includes Obama among the year's 50 most influential Jews. Well, I'm glad they cleared up that conspiracy. Let's move on, shall we? It's good to know we have a black Jewish president. I mean, I don't know what the giveaway was. The pictures of him wearing the yarmulke or what have you. The Jewish Forward, a newspaper published in New York City, puts together an annual list of the 50 most influential Jewish leaders. This year, there's a bizarre addition to the impressive roster, President Barack Obama. In describing the list, editor Jane Eisner writes, the Forward 50 is a snapshot in time, an impressionist picture of the American Jewish story during a given year. Below, see a video during which Eisner discusses the top five names which are included in this year's grouping. So there you go, Obama, one of the 50 most influential Jews in the country. Well, I had no idea. I'm glad they informed me of that. Oh, you guys hear that they now deemed fans of the shitty-ass, worst goddamn music ever created, short of Lou Reed and Metallica, Insane Clown Posse, those fucking juggalos. Fucking juggalos. I mean, those guys can't even form a complete sentence, much less be a gang. They're saying juggalos are a gang now. Yeah, Homeland Security is there. Uh-oh, watch out. Well, you don't have to worry about Al-Qaeda. You have to worry about Al-Qaeda juggalos. Juggalos are going to fly airplanes into building on 11-11-11. That's my prediction. We don't know who flew these airplanes into the building on 11-11-11, but we think it may have been juggalos. We're going to be rounding up all juggalos, putting them in camps. And we're going to be waterboarding them with Faygo. No tolerance policy on juggalos. Oh, man, the hits just keep on coming. Man accused of bestiality blames crime on shape-shifting prostitute. Oh, that's gold. That's gold. I was having sex with this lizard woman, and next thing I know, I had my dick in a dog's ass. She shapeshifted out of here, man. I don't know what's going on. She shapeshifted. She came here and told me he's going to have sex. She said, I know I got my dick in a dog's ass. I didn't mean to do it. Last Sunday, Zimbabwean police found a 28-year-old man in Flagrante Delicto with a donkey in the town of Zimbabwe, and I can't even say it. When pressed for a rationale, the man offered up that which can only be described as your typical True Blood subplot. A man caught having sex with a donkey stunned a court on Monday, claiming that the animal was in fact a hooker that he pulled from a nightclub. She shapeshifted into a donkey on me, man. She asked me if I wanted some ass, if I liked it in the ass. That's what she asked me. She said, you like it in the ass. And I said, if that means I'm putting my dick in your ass and I like it. And then I did it. And then I didn't know I was going to have my dick in an ass, a donkey, an ass. I thought I was going to have it in ass. Not an ass, not a donkey. Your worship, I only came to know that when I was being intimate with a donkey when I got arrested. I had hired a prostitute and paid her U.S. $20 for the service at a downtown nightclub, and I don't know how she then became a donkey. Whatever happened to saying, I thought she was a chick. Didn't know she had a penis. Christ. We're just degrading into lower pits of hell every day, aren't we? This to me sounds like this is going to be another one of the things they blame some, you know, false flag on. Officials say fake weapons parts are a ticking time bomb. Sprinkling sounds like a fairly harmless practice, but in the hands of sophisticated counterfeiters, it could deceive a major weapons manufacturer and possibly endanger the lives of U.S. troops. It's a process of mixing authentic electronic parts with fake ones in hopes that the counterfeits will not be detected when companies test the components for multi-million dollar missile systems, helicopters, and aircraft. It was just one of the brazen steps described Tuesday at a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing examining the national security and economic implications of suspect counterfeit electronics, mostly from China, inundating the Pentagon supply chain. The failure of electronic parts can leave a soldier, a sailor, an airman, or a Marine vulnerable in the worst possible time. A flood of counterfeit electronic parts has made it a lot harder to have confidence that won't happen. So we don't even know if the parts that we're putting in our own weapon systems now are even going to work. But that doesn't stop us from making this stuff. So what they're telling us is that any of the weapon systems that are out there, from unmanned drones, you know, sentient computer systems, AI supercomputer systems that control weapons, missile silos, hey, any of these things could be a threat and could go off and be out of our control at any time. And, you know, a bunch of people get killed, but hey, we have plausible deniability. But it wasn't our fault. We got sold a bunch of fake weapons parts and we couldn't get them all out of there out of time. See, everything they do is about absolving themselves of any kind of a guilt. Always having a scapegoat, always having a patsy, always having an Oswald, whether it's a person or an inanimate object or whatever have you, they always make sure that they have something to blame this on. I think this could be a setup for some sort of, you know, event happening eventually down the road, whether it be, you know, some big weapon going off and they're saying, well, there's nothing we could do about it, you know. Cygirl had posted this in the chat room earlier. Pretty interesting stuff about a cocksucker we've talked about a lot here, Richard Hoaxland. I mean, if anybody ever believes anything comes out of that guy's mouth, the guy literally said, if I ever have a bad day, I just go watch his video. There's a video out there where he says that Obama is the savior and he was put here and put in power by good Freemasons behind the scenes who want to do good things for humanity. And he can prove all of that, that it's true, that he is the Messiah by using quantum physics. Hoaxland fear porn, asteroid U-55 to hit the moon on November 9th via Elonin's corpse. The fear porn never stops with this guy. He just can't swallow his pride amid defeat and being wrong, yet hundreds of thousands, if not millions, clinging to his words like hogs to maggot apples. Richard Hoaxland, a.k.a. Hoagie, who brought us the whole time continuum of Comet Elonin being an intergalactic spaceship with defense beam shield mechanisms to bring about the ninth wave of Mayan consciousness, throw in an intergalactic war between alien evil terrorists who started 9/11 battling between good aliens for our very souls and lives, has struck again with his absurdity once more when we should have packed up and went home months ago and apologized regarding the death of Comet Elonin, which is now confirmed by NASA and many astronomers as being a cloud corpse, meaning nothing is left of Elonin at all. But Hoagie is now saying that Elonin has changed the polarity of asteroid U-55 that now is directing it towards the moon. Inside sources say, well, I guess that didn't happen. It wouldn't buy us yet again. I guess that's another one. Yeah. Oh, I mean, Hoaxland, come on. He's still pissed that a paperclip Nazi got his job on the Star Trek show. That guy's been an insider for the CIA and shit for years, man. I wouldn't let that fool cut my grass. I don't know about you. Well, that's what we're going to leave there for the news tonight. But we're going to take a break, come back, and get into tablet number 10 tonight of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth here for you on the show. And good stuff. And Ben. Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight. Another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. GlobalRealityShow at gmail.com is my email address. If you want to send an email anytime for me to read on the show and do my best to respond back to you. Also, GlobalRealityShow at gmail.com, email address there. And TheGlobalReality.com is my website. It's www.TheGlobalReality.com. We do need your support, folks. And we had a couple of weeks off not doing the show. That significantly reduced the support that we get to survive and pay bills. And we just squeaked by and paid bills last week. So we got to get some support in here this week because the if I have a war chest to work with, and a war chest for me is a couple of $100, you know, not $350,000 money bombs and shit like that. You know, I mean, a few $100. But if I have that and I have that there, that allows me to be able to focus on, not worrying about having to, do more radio shows because we, need funds or whatever. And I can concentrate on getting the movie out. You've seen what I was able to do over the past couple of weeks. I should have done this a long time ago, but timing is everything when it comes to this stuff. So I'm going to be working very hard to get this out and get this finished over the next few weeks. I don't foresee it taking any longer than this month. I don't know. I just can't say anymore. This software thing, I mean, I'm trying other options with software and stuff now, but pending any more catastrophic fucking failures and stuff like that, I know definitely what not to do now. But other stuff's just out of my control. Pending any of that stuff, I'm going to have this done in the next few weeks. So help us out if you can. TheGlobalReality.com, chip and banner, donate button. We also have a P.O. box for people who can't use, absolutely can't use PayPal. We have that, and that's there as well. And we'd definitely want to get this movie done and get it out so people can see a bit more of the bigger picture. All right, tonight we are reading The Key of Time, tablet number 10 from the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. I'd like to get into that for you now without further ado. Listen, ye, old man. See, some. I want to be clear. Some of this stuff, it's like, you know, it's old-timey speak, so I'm altering a little bit, kind of like what I did when I read Gods of Eden or Lost Book of Enki, stuff like that, so make it translate a little bit better, you know. Listen, ye, old man, take of my wisdom. Learn of his deep, hidden mysteries of space. Learn of the thought that grew in the abyss, bringing order and harmony in space. Know you, O man, that all exists has being only because of the law. Know ye the law, and ye shall be free, never be bound by the fetters of night. Far through strange spaces have I journeyed into the depth of abyss of the time, until in the end all was revealed. Know ye that mystery is only mystery, when it is knowledge unknown to man. When ye have plumbed the heart of all mystery, knowledge and wisdom will surely be yours. Seek you and learn that time is the secret, whereby you may be free of this space. Time is the secret whereby you may be free of this space. Yeah, or learning that time is an illusion and a construct that we create and is created by our brains. Long have I sought wisdom, aye, and shall seek of eternity's end, for know that ever before me receding shall move the goal I seek to attain. Even the lords of the cycles know that they have not yet reached the goal, for with all their wisdom, they know that truth ever grows. Once in a past time, I spoke to the dweller and asked of the mystery of time and space, and asked him the question that surged in my being, saying, O master, what is time? Then he spoke to me, the master, and he said, Know ye, O Thoth, in the beginning there was void and nothingness, a timeless, spaceless nothingness. And into the nothingness came a thought, purposeful, all-pervading, and it filled the void. There existed no matter, only force, a movement, a vortex, or vibration of the purposeful thought that filled the void. And I questioned the master, saying, was this thought eternal? And the dweller answered me, saying, in the beginning there was eternal thought, and for thought to be eternal, time must exist. So into the all-pervading thought grew the law of time. I, time, which exists through all space, floating in a smooth, rhythmic movement that is eternally in a state of fixation. Time changes not, but all things change in time. For time is the force that holds events separate, each in its own proper place. Time, time is not in motion, but we move through time as your consciousness moves from one event to another. Yes, my time yet exists all in all, an eternal one existence. Know ye that even though in the time ye are separate, yet still are one in all times existent. Then the voice of the dweller ceased, and departed I to ponder on time. For I knew that in these words lay wisdom, and a way to explore the mysteries of time. Often did I ponder the words of the dweller. Then I sought to solve the mystery of time. I found that time moves through strange angles, yet only by curves could I hope to attain the key. The key that would give me access to the space-time. Found I that only by moving upward, and yet again by moving to a right angle, could I be free from the time of the movement. Forth I came out of my body, moved in the movements that changed me in time. Strange were the sights I saw in my journeys, many the mysteries that opened to view. I saw man's beginning, and learned from the past that nothing is new. Seek ye, O man, to learn the pathway that leads through the spaces that are formed forth in time. Forget not, O man, with all of thy seeking, that light is the goal ye shall seek to attain. Search you for the light on the pathway, and ever for you the goal shall endure. Let not your heart ever turn to darkness. Let light shine, and the soul shall be a sun on its way. Know ye that eternal brightness, yea, that you shall ever find thy soul hid in light, never fettered by bondage or darkness, ever it shines forth a sun of the light. Yes, know through, though hidden in darkness, your soul, a spark of the true flame, exists. Be ye one with the greatest of all lights. Find at the source the end of thy goal. Light is life, for without the great light, nothing can ever exist. Know that in all formed matter, the heart of light always exists. I, even though bound in the darkness, inherent light always exists. Once I stood in the halls of Amenti and heard the voice of the lords of Amenti, saying in tones that rang through the silence, words of power, mighty and potent. Chanted they the songs of the cycles, the words that open the path to beyond. I saw the great path open and looked for the instant into the beyond. I saw the movements of the cycles, vast as the thought of the source could convey. Knew I then even infinity is moving on to some unthinkable end. I saw that the cosmos is order, and a part of movement that extends to all space, a party of an order of orders, constantly moving in a harmony of space. Saw I the wheeling of cycles, like vast circles across the sky, I knew then that all that has being is growing to meet yet another being in a far-off grouping of space and time. Knew I then that in words are power, to open the planes that are hidden from man. I that even in words lies hidden the key that will open the above and the below. Hark ye now, man, this word I leave with thee. Use it, and ye shall find power in its sound. Say ye the word, Zin Uru. Zin Uru. Zin Uru. And power ye shall find. Yet must ye understand that man is of light, and light is of man. List ye, O man, and hear a mystery, stranger than all that lies neath the sun. Know ye, O man, that all space is filled by worlds within worlds, aye, one within the other, yet separate by law. Once in my search for the deep buried wisdom, I opened the door that bars them from man. Called I from the other planes of being, one who was fairer than the daughters of men. I called her from out of the spaces to shine as a light in the world of men. Used I the drum of the serpent, wore I the robe of the purple and gold, placed on my head I the crown of silver. Around me the circle of cinnabar shone. Raised I my arms and cried the invocation that opens the path to the plains of beyond. Cried I to the lords of the signs in their houses, lords of the two horizons, watchers of the treble gates, stand ye one at right and one at the left, as the star rises to its throne and rules over his sign. I, thou dark prince of Arulu, open the gates of the dim hidden land and release her whom ye keep imprisoned. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, dark lords and shining ones. Well, shining ones, yeah, we know you're talking about extraterrestrials here. And by their secret names, names which I know and can pronounce, hear ye and obey my will. Lit I then with flame my circle and called her in the space plains beyond. Daughter of light, return from Arulu. Seven times and seven times have I passed through the fire. Food I have not eaten. Water I have not drunk. I call thee from Arulu, from the realms of Ereshkigal. I summon thee, Lady of Night. Well, there you go, Ereshkigal. That's Anunnaki. So any of you that were doubting the connection between Toth and the Anunnaki ever, which I've heard people do, there you go. Then before me rose the dark figures, I, the figures of the lords of Arulu. Parted they before me, and forth came the Lady of the Light. Free was she now from the lords of the night, free to live in the light of the earth sun, free to live as a child of the light. Hear ye and listen, O my children. Magic is knowledge, and only is law. Be not afraid of the power within thee, for it follows law, as the stars in the sky. Know ye that to be without knowledge, wisdom is magic and not of the law. But know ye that ever ye by your knowledge can approach closer to a place in the sun. List ye, my children, follow my teaching. Be ye ever seekers of light. Shine in the world of men all around thee, a light on the path that shall shine among men. Follow ye and learn of my magic. Know that all is force. Know that all force is yours if you will it. Fear not the path that leads to knowledge, but rather shun the dark road. Light is yours, O man, for the taking. Cast off the fetters, and thou shalt be free. Know that your soul is living in bondage, fettered by fears that hold you enthralled. Open thy eyes and see the great sunlight. Be not afraid of all, for all is your own. Fear is the lord of the dark Arulu, to he who never faced the dark fear. Know that fear has an existence created by those who are bound by their fears. Shake off the bondage, O children, and walk in the light of the glorious day. Never turn your thoughts to the darkness, and surely you shall be one with the light. Man is only what he believeth, a brother of darkness or a child of the light. Come through into the light, my children, Walk in the pathway that leads to the sun. Hark ye now and listen to the wisdom. Use thou the word I have given unto thee. Use it, and surely thou shalt find power and wisdom, and light to walk in the way. Seek thee and find the key I have given, and ever shalt thou be a child of the light. That concludes tablet number 10 of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. The next tablet will be tablet number 11, the key to above and below. And so that's what we'll pick up next time on the show. Yeah, man. Well, again, just amazing how much stuff makes sense with a lot of things you've already researched when you read these things. They started talking about Eris Kegel, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's calling on to this, you know, to the Sumerians, the ones that stayed behind on Earth and became the Ascended Masters. Which kind of ties into that Maitreya thing people have been asking about as well. But, you know, hey, just like always, man, same thing with my film. You know, like I said, you're going to want to go back and watch even just the first hour. Write down all those names, double-check those names, look at the rabbit trails. I mean, I couldn't possibly get all the information in here. And I could never possibly get all the information there is to know in all the radio shows and films that I do. You know, I just hope that of the stuff that I provide, the information I provide, you use as a springboard for your own research. That's, you know, that's really what it boils down to. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and being with us here tonight. I'm going to continue to work on the film and do my best to get it out for you. I hope you guys enjoy hour number one up there at YouTube right now. Secret Life Volume 2, hour number one. It's now out up on YouTube. Enjoy it. It's going to be up there for a while. Spread it around. Spread it to the four winds. And donate at TheGlobalReality.com so we can get this done and keep pushing forward, folks. I want to thank everybody out there for supporting us. Continue to tune into the show and spread the word. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. And we'll see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.